So, as you're becoming conversational hypnotists, the very first thing you must learn is what hypnosis is and what it is not. Now, I'm going to address that second part first. In other words, what hypnosis is not, because you really must clear up any misconceptions of what it is you're trying to achieve right at the outset. Now, many people have this huge misunderstanding about what hypnosis is. The films, the media, books, articles, all these things have really created this misconception of power in hypnosis, of complete control, of domination of another human being. Personally, I think it's a good thing that that is not possible. You see, in hypnosis, you're negotiating with someone's unconscious mind, and the unconscious mind is the place where people's ethics and moral code is really stored. So in hypnosis, you will never get someone to break the ethical code. But hold on, you'll say. I saw a stage show and all these people were running around acting like chickens and doing all kinds of crazy things. Surely the hypnotist on that show had complete control. Well, yes and no. Let me explain what I mean by that. An analogy I'd like to draw is a bit of, imagine a magician doing his show. Now, in this show, he causes a woman to levitate up off the ground and fly around the audience before coming right back to the front stage. The question is this. Did the woman fly? Sure, she was 6 foot up in the air. Sure, she made a tour around the entire audience, and she was generally up in that air, in that position. But was it really levitation? Was it really flying? No. Everyone knows that some kind of trickery, some kind of machine, wires, whatever you want, was actually involved in creating the illusion of flight. Well, a stage hypnotist's job is to create the illusion of control. Think about the very first thing that a stage hypnotist does. He invites people to come up on stage. He invites volunteers. So who's going to volunteer to that? The person who doesn't want to cluck like a chicken? The person who doesn't want to make a fool of himself? Of course not. The people who do volunteer are the people who want to be exhibitionists, who want to show things off. Of course, on one level, they are absolutely having the experience that the hypnotist is suggesting, but it is not in any way conflicting with their own moral code. As an example, there's a very famous case of a lady on a show who was doing everything. She was like the star of the show. When it was time to be a chicken, she was a chicken. When she talked to aliens, she just talked to aliens, but with elaborate gestures and deep insight. Now, at the end of the show, when the hypnotist was wrapping things up, he decided to give everyone the chance to dance a little hula, to have a little party to enjoy themselves up on stage, before he sent them back into the audience. Now, this woman refused to dance. No matter what the hypnotist did, this woman refused to dance. So the show finally comes to a close. He dehypnotizes everyone, removes all the suggestions, an important thing, by the way, and he can't help himself. He goes up to this woman and says, "Hey, listen, you were so good for the whole show, but when it came to dancing the hula, you just wouldn't play. What happened there?" The woman looked at the hypnotist and said, "Oh, no, no, no. We don't dance. It's against our religion." You see, the woman will not break her ethical code. And actually, the research in hypnosis backs this all up. There's all kinds of research trying to get people to do things which are an ethical violation, and a violation of their own moral code. And the result is, it simply does not work. As an example, Milton Erickson, the famous hypnotherapist, was working with one lady who he knew had an issue with another lady in the workplace. This is at the hospital. So he knew that she really disliked another one of the nurses. So in trance, he tried to implant the suggestion that when the trance is over, she's going to get up, walk out of the room, find this other nurse, and in a state of trance, slap this other nurse across the face. Kind of amusing, you'd think. The thing is, this nurse refused to do it. So the more that Erickson was building, if you like, the hypnotic pressure for her to conform, at one point, the lady just turned around and said, still in a trance, "Dr. Erickson, if you don't cease this line of inquiry immediately, the only one who'll be getting slapped around here will be you." You see, in that lady's model of the world, you simply didn't do that to someone who didn't deserve it. Whether you wanted to do it or not was irrelevant. Now, on a more deeper level, the CIA had a very famous project you may have heard of. This is called MKUltra. In it, they tried a long, long time ago now to create what's called a hypnotic assassin, much like the book The Manchurian Candidate. The hypnotist they chose for this was a man called George Estabrooks, a very famous man. You can still get some of his books. Now, this man was a great hypnotist. He was very, very skilled at what he did. And no matter what he tried, and this is going through years of research, he simply could not succeed. Now, does that mean that you can't do things with hypnosis? Of course not. There's a lot you can achieve with hypnosis, and some pretty crazy things too. For example, there's the infamous hypnotic messenger. Two therapists, hypnotherapists, were having a bit of a friendly rivalry. One day, the second hypnotherapist, we'll call him Paul, sitting in his office, and a client comes in. As soon as he hypnotizes the client, however, something unusual happens. Before he gets to actually resolve the problem, the client starts speaking in the tone of voice of the first hypnotist, which is, we'll call him Andrew. So Paul thinks this is interesting. And at the end of the session, he's given the client the therapy, and he thinks, hey, I think I should really answer Andrew's point. So he rehypnotizes the client, gives him some suggestions of a new message to send over to Andrew, and then sends him home. A few weeks later, the client walks into Andrew's office. Andrew begins to hypnotize him to help him with whatever other problem this client has. And just before he gets to actually do the therapy, again, the client presents his message in Paul's voice, using Paul's mannerisms. Now, Andrew finds this quite amusing. So, again, he does a therapy, at the end of which, he puts another reply into the client to send back over to Paul. Now, this backwards and forwards between the two clients happens for quite some time. Now, you might think, okay, this is amusing, and why would the client want to play the role of this hypnotic messenger? When you think about it, what's actually happening here is the client is getting free therapy. Every time he visits one of these therapists' offices, they didn't charge him. They were having far too much of a good time playing hypnotic messenger. So the client gets free therapy. The hypnotist got something interesting out of their interactions, and everyone wins. And that is where hypnosis works at its best. If you have still been holding on to this idea of totally dominating someone else's will, forget it. It won't happen. If you want to become someone who takes over the world with your hypnotic skills, I advise you to forget it. If that were possible, I'd be sitting right now on my own private island in the middle of the Bahamas, having everything I could possibly imagine. And whilst I'm well off, I'm not that well off. So, as you go into the program, I want you to now really understand what hypnosis is, and always within this ethical mindset of how can this be a win-win for both of us? Because to the extent that you help the unconscious mind fulfill whatever mandate is there, whatever thinks it's important in life, it will do whatever it takes to work right along with you.